Welcome back to another episode of Life in Progress, a podcast where we talk about how life and faith and all the things intersect. I'm your host, Lindsay Field, and this week I sit down with my big sister, Jordan Glasser. We talk about what it means to live a life of service and, as she would say, choose calling over comfort. We recorded this episode over the summer, about a month before Jordan and her family made a big move. Regardless of the misleading timeline, I hope you enjoy the conversation. Okay, welcome to this very professional podcast. Okay, now we're starting.
Okay.
All right, hi.
Hi.
Do you want to take a second to introduce yourself and explain why you're here?
Why I'm here. Because my little sister called me and asked for a favor, so I am here. No, seriously. I am Lindsay's big sister, but I'm here to talk about how Christ has moved in my life and what that looks like and what he's calling my family to, and just share a little bit about that story.
Yes. All of that those are all facts. So Jordan is my big sister. I've known her literally my entire life. She may have chosen something different, but she got me, so there we are. Yeah, so I will start off this podcast by just kind of asking, so the vision of Sojourn is mission vision. I get those confused, so I might have said the wrong word, but okay. One of the things is helping students discover God's dream for their lives. Okay. So the first question I have for you before we really dig into your story is, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to discover God's dream for your life?
Oh man, I think that's an ongoing thing. I think for me, it means keeping my eyes fixed on Christ and rather than the things around me. And if I am truly seeking God and his plan for me, then I think that's what it looks like. I think it's hard to say, you know, a couple months ago, we didn't know we were going to be sent overseas on mission and, you know, had no idea what was coming.
I still don't.
So I think, you know, I think we got to be careful that we don't dig our heels in and say, this is my plan. This is my dream. This is how it's going to look. I think we need to keep our eyes fixed on him and follow him rather than what we think our dream should be or what our plan should be and let him unfold it.
Yep. Cool. Well, so one of the reasons I asked you to do this with me is one, because I feel like I could screw it up with you and it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
I'll just make fun of you later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which that's my whole life. So what else is new? But really because one of Sojourn's main values is this idea of beyond the walls. And on campus, that translates to beyond the walls of campus, of being involved in the local church, doing service projects, looking outside of yourself and your own group. And really this idea that if we're not living out our faith, like, what's the point? You know, community and talking about our faith and studying our faith is important, but there has to be an action piece as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, that's biblical.
Exactly.
That's, you know, that's straight out of the Bible. That it's funny. I think people like to water that down because, sometimes it's hard to be action oriented, but that's what the Bible calls us to. And I mean, Christ died and then rose. And the thing that he came back to tell everyone was to go and tell and do, like, be on action, like, be doing. And I mean, I don't think you can be any more dramatic and influential than raising from the dead and then being like, I'm here because you need to hear this.
Wait. So are you saying that Jesus was just a drama queen?
Right. and like I said, it's biblical. It's straight from Christ that we are called to be, to take action.
Yep.
And honestly, I mean, if you really boil it down, if you get one life, this is it. You get one shot. why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not an assignment that I would want to take lightly and then be like, oh man, I wish I would have done something, you know, get to the end of life and realize like, I should have done more. I wish I would have done more.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. And we'll get to kind of you already mentioned a little bit, but we'll talk a little bit about what's next for you guys. And I think that's the obvious thing on what to talk about with service. But actually for you, we were talking about this the other day, there's been multiple points in your life where you decided that it was time to take a step forward or action. And I might be wrong on this, but one of the first times I remember for you is when we were in high school, we would do spring break trips to Mexico. Mm-hmm. You were 2 grades older than me. So when your junior year was my freshman year, which was my first year going. And I just remember just a lot of the conversations we had on those trips and the importance of that trip at that point in your life. So I guess for a question out of that, as a general story or statement.
Land the plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. What drew you to those trips as a 14, 15 year old? And, how has that influenced your life?
I think those experiences are important because I think even at a young age, well, that's not even super young, but in our youth, we need to see the world outside of our bubble. Mm. And I think it's really easy, especially as Americans, to just hunker down and live in our bubble and just live in comfort. And that's not how a lot of the world lives. And I think that it's really important to see and experience things outside of our comfort zone, outside of our norms. So I think even at a young, especially at a young age, I think that it's really important to start diving into that and knowing that the world is bigger than just, you know, me and myself and all, you know, my joy and my whatever. Our society is so wrapped up in the get rid of it if it doesn't bring you joy, you know, and that's not really how it's supposed to work, you know. It's not all about us and our happiness. The world's bigger than that. And so I think those things, those experiences are important at a young age to really just lay the foundation of knowing that the world is bigger than just our small bubble.
Mm-hmm. When you may or may not be able to answer this question, we can cut it out if it's a bad question or something.
Yeah, there you go.
When is kind of one of those first times you remember realizing that the world is bigger than you? There's a child moaning.
No, that's singing.
Oh, singing, sorry.
They're singing.
Sometimes I get confused with 3-year-old singing and moaning.
Yes, it's we're a talented group around here. We have a lot of kids. So I think it's ongoing discovery of starting with those missions trips and seeing, you know, going to an orphanage, experiencing new cultures, seeing those things, but then continuing to learn and grow from that. So, I mean, we've adopted children and adopted a child internationally and went to his orphanage. And I think you have to keep pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to continue growing. And it takes being intentional about wanting to just not remain idle, I guess. So I think that it has to be an intentional decision to want growth and to see outside of your, you know, your comfort. And so for me, I think it's an ongoing thing. I think I'm not that same high school student that first went on a missions trip.
But that's probably a good thing though.
Yeah, right. But see, I mean, I think that unless you're choosing to pursue things outside of your comfort zone, you will, you know, remain the same. You won't grow. You won't expand and your horizons on things. I think it's really important to be intentional about pushing yourself.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's really easy to just stay in your comfort.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a time where you've chosen to stay in your comfort zone?
Ooh. So, I'm sure. You know, I think it's hard to look back and be like, did I do that right? Mm. Did I choose the right thing? It's funny because with what's coming up for us with, serving overseas, we just had the conversation, my husband and I had the conversation last night, that we bought our house an hour before we signed the paperwork, an hour before we got our first call from the organization that we're going to now go and serve with. And we could have easily got that call. It was the first time we had heard from him in like 6 months. You know, we thought that ship has sailed. They didn't choose us. That's fine. We're moving on. So we bought a house, and we could have easily just said no to them and told everyone, well, we just bought a house. And everyone, I guarantee you, everyone around us would have been like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been too hard.
You just got a puppy.
There would have been all these things that people would have been like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it doesn't. And when we got the call, I cried, I will admit. I cried and I was like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, and after I had my meltdown and, really had a deep conversation with God, it was like, well, why couldn't we still go? This is just a house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's shelter. It's things. It's nothing that should prevent us from our calling and what God's asking us to do. And it, you know, in that moment, I realized it was such a textbook moment. I mean, it was so black and white of God handing us this house, this property that we have dreamed and prayed and talked about our entire, you know, almost 13 years of marriage. We have talked about this, and all of a sudden we had it. And then in the same hour, in that same breath, God asked us, will you still go? Will you still choose me? Will you still be willing to go where I send you? And it, you know, when you put it like that, if this was like a test in college where you're like, okay, A, B, or C, you know, which is the correct answer?
All of the above.
Yeah. You know, that's where you go, gosh, if you can emotionally step back from it and go, well, you should go.
Yeah.
You should go. You should always go. You should always choose calling over comfort. But in that moment, it's not easy. And it also, to the world, to our society, it's a very easy get out of jail free card. Like I said, everyone would have been like, oh yeah, you just bought a house.
Well, even just the house, like, as we mentioned before, you have a lot of kids.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got so many kids. That was another thing. People, as soon as we told them, oh, we're going to go serve overseas, and their first question, it's always funny because like you see the look on their face and you wait for it. You're like, okay, let it sink in a second. And then they go, all of you? And we're like, yeah, yeah, all of us. Like, that's kind of how it works. You know, all of us. So yeah, we've got four kids, young kids. Yeah. And we're all going. And that's the thing. I think, you know, even though it's my husband that will be in the
official position.
He couldn't go if I wasn't willing to say yes. And if our children weren't willing to say yes. And we are all serving and we all have a piece in this puzzle to make it work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important that people understand that there are a lot of roles in service. There are a lot of roles in calling and following Christ, that it doesn't all look the same. And so while he may be serving with an anti-human trafficking organization and pulling people out of human trafficking, which is that's like the headliner, you know, that's the service, that's the ministry that people want to see videos about and talk about, and that, like, you know, put that on a banner, right? But there's all these other parts of it that have to happen to make it possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, being willing. And even like with our kids, they're excited to go and they're very much willing. And they know, like, they're leaving their friends, they're leaving their school, but they're willing to say yes. And so I think, you know, most people look for in ministry or service, they look for the glamorous stuff. They want the headliner. And that's not always how it's going to look. And it doesn't make it less important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, you have to be willing to say yes, whatever God is calling you to, and not just the headliner.
I think even beyond that, like, when we go on spring break trips and when we choose partners that we're going to work with, like, we look for organizations that we already have a relationship with, mm-hmm. because we also know that us coming in for a week is going to change nothing. It's going to change our hearts more than anything else. And so we want to partner with people that are on the ground doing the work day in and day out and be their support, essentially. And so I think you know, not only do people look for the big flashy headlines when they want to surf, but they want to kind of get in and get out. They want to get their photo opportunity. They want to be able to say, look what I did, without really looking at the lasting impact that that may or may not make.
You know, service can quickly turn into, it's not really a sacrifice. It's more about like what you can gain from it,
right,
how it benefits you. You know, like you said, get the picture, let people know that you've served. And
it's
then,
almost like you've checked the box for the next 10 years of, oh no, I don't need to go do this thing because
and God
last year I did this thing.
Is that in service? Like it doesn't make it, you know, if your heart is in the wrong spot, you know, I mean, that's the point.
It's not the letter of the law. It's the spirit of the law. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to ask you to go do these things, but if you're going to do it kicking and screaming, I'd rather you just not do it.
Or doing it, you know, and even when it talks about, you know, with, you know, being on the corner with your prayer, like standing out there, you know, so for everyone to hear your prayers, that's not what God wants. You know, God, it's not for our glory. None of this is for our glory. None of this is, you know, for people to look at us. It's for people to see Christ, for his glory. And that's where I think people miss the boat, is like, why are you doing this? Really, what's the heart behind it? You always want to help people and do the right thing. But like, really, where's your heart at?
Yeah. So you, when we've mentioned this or dropped little things, or if anybody knows either of us, they probably know these parts of your story, but you've served, you know, through high school, you've adopted two children, one internationally, you've had more experience with the adoption system, you have worked with birth mothers, and now you're going to serve overseas with an anti-trafficking organization. And so those are all obviously amazing things and great things, but none of those were easy decisions to do. And I'm sure there's a whole list that I'm missing that could also be grouped into these things. But so when you're sitting here, you and Brian, you're sitting here trying to decide, do we move forward with this adoption, with this move, with this organization, with this whatever it is? Do we move forward or do we not move forward? Because there's been times where the answer is no, actually this is not where we're supposed to be moving to. So how do you make those decisions? How do you weigh those things?
I think for us, you know, like I said earlier, it really comes down to, this is it. We get one shot at this. And if I'm going to do anything well in my life, or try to do anything well, I'm not going to say I'm going to get it right. But if I'm going to...
But you're the perfectionist older sister, so you will get it right.
I'm gonna try my hardest. I'll tell you what, you know, because if there's anything that deserves our whole heart and our efforts and our energy and all of our passion, it's following Christ and our calling. And, you know, I think that it's really easy to get wrapped up on day to day and our needs for the moment. And honestly, the idea of getting to the end of my life and feeling like I missed it, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's way more scary to me than, you know, doing hard things now. So I think for us, you know, I will be very honest. I spend a lot of time in prayer, and there are a lot of times too where I'm like, God, I don't understand. That's an open conversation with God where I'll be like, I don't get this part of the plan. I don't understand it. And, you know, sometimes I get to understand it later. And sometimes I don't. And that's the thing about having a big God. We're not always meant to understand, which can be frustrating to our humanness. But that's the thing. If we were on the same level as God, what a sad thing that would be, you know, that what a small God we'd serve if we were on the same playing field as him. So, you know, we're not always meant to understand. And so I think, you know, that's been a lesson for me as I would say I'm a recovering control freak. Recovering. Don't laugh, Lindsay. But honestly, it is something that I've had to really work through and, you know, reaching that point of surrender where you go, okay, you know, if you're sending us, if we buy a house and in the same moment you send us to Cambodia, I mean, talk about surrender, you know, but also from surrender, the freedom that and peace that comes from that. When you realize, like, you know what, it really doesn't matter. If I'm faithfully following, if I'm going where I'm supposed to go and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, then it really doesn't matter where I'm at or what I'm doing. There's a lot of peace in that. Yeah. And like I said, as a recovering control freak, I feel like that's a type of freedom that you can't find from anything else. You, as many lists as you make, as many things as you can write in your planner, or I don't know, I guess people don't, I'm more old school. I still use a planner. Okay. Well. Yeah. People use their, you know, electronics, but I like to cross things out. So
the control part of you,
exactly. Right? And there's a lot of satisfaction in being able to cross things out, but you know, really understanding that when there's full surrender, there's a lot of peace that comes from that. So I think that learning when to say yes and when to say no is, I think you have to be really tuned in to what Christ is saying, how he's leading, because otherwise you're going to miss it, you know?
Well, I like what you're saying about the peace. There's a verse in Philippians that talks about the peace that surpasses all understanding. And not to say, like, when you decide to follow God, whether it be a small thing or a big thing or the first time, that there's not stressful moments.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Anytime.
We're moving to Cambodia in 3 weeks with 4 kids. And so if you want to talk to me about, like, I'm not saying that you will never experience stress for the rest of your life.
But the piece that you're talking about is more like, in my experience, has been more of the overall decision.
Like, absolutely. Like, I know we're supposed to be in Cambodia. Yeah. Yeah. And, there's a big difference, and there's a huge weight that's lifted off. I mean, like I said, when you're as many lists as you want to make or things that you want to try and plan out, to really let go of it is where you find peace.
This might be a really bad example, but it's almost like going into a final exam, right? Like one that you have studied 30 hours for, like, and you feel prepared for. Doesn't mean you're not stressed about the exam, you know, or the questions that might come up or the unexpected things that the professor is going to throw at you. But you also go into it knowing you've done everything you
can. Well, yeah, even Paul asked for prayer on to have the right words and have the strength. And, I mean, we're talking about Paul.
Jesus, and, you know, before he was arrested, you know, at one point prayed, like, if there's any other way, like, pass this cup, but ultimately I'm going to take on whatever you give to me, God. And I think if Jesus is saying, like, you know,
if there's another way,
I'd like to do it, but I'm still willing to do it.
So willing.
And it's that willingness piece.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that I've experienced lately with saying big yeses. There comes a lot of freedom and just being like, okay, we didn't even know. I mean, well, we bought a house. Of course we didn't know we were going to Cambodia, you know? So how quickly things change, and really through that, in saying those yeses and being obedient, you get to watch how God provides and works through that. And without saying yes, without being willing, you miss that gift of watching God work. And I think that you know, even though you're doing hard things, you also get a front row seat to watching the amazing things that God, you know, God at work. And you just get to be a partner with him, you know, a small piece. It's not like he needs us.
Right.
You know, we heard the example of, like, and I related with this one, but like a mother having their young ones help make cookies. Right. You know, like
it makes it so much easier when you have the 4-year-old helper.
Right. There. You know, but there's a lot to be learned in that. And when, you know, that's kind of how we are with God. Like, he doesn't need us to do his work. He doesn't need us to go in there and fix things or, you know.
God's going to smile and say good job when we drop the whole egg into the mixing
bowl. Yeah, you know, and I think I think we forget too that, like, we're not the focus of the story. Yeah. You know, and that's something that I focus on in my book, is that we're not created to be the heroes, you know? And I think a lot of people try and live their life as, like, they're the hero of this story, when really we're created to be the rescued. this is Christ's story.
Yeah.
And this is all the things we do are for his glory, for his kingdom, you know? And I think that if we start making decisions for kingdom work, the world would be a very different place.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, with all that being said, I can't even remember where what the question was or how we started, but
me neither. So
here we are. I think, you know, even going back to when you were asking about what he's saying yes and no to different things and knowing how, what God is leading to. I think for me, what's made a big difference too is when you have ongoing relationship with Christ. So not just in the moment of like, hey, will you go to Cambodia? And I'm like, oh my gosh, God, what should I do? But like an ongoing daily relationship, abiding with Christ.
So maybe you don't start with the Cambodia question.
Right.
You start with the,
right.
What,
yeah. And
who do you want me to be kind to today?
Well, just talking with him. That's again, in my book, I talk about when you talk with him in the quiet, his voice will be much easier to hear in the heat of the battle.
Mm.
And I think that for me has made such a difference because, yeah, you can't go to him in that crisis moment and be like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't recognize his voice, if you don't recognize his leading, if you don't know the signs of how God is trying to direct your life, how can you expect an answer? Like if you don't go to him regularly for that, how can you expect to know when to say yes and when to say no?
Yeah.
Because you don't know his voice. So I think that's made a big difference for me in just understanding it's ongoing. It's not just a crisis moment relationship. It's an ongoing relationship that's daily in the big and the little and in the quiet. And I mean, how amazing is that? That God of the universe wants us all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it not just when we get things right or when he, you know, when we think he needs us or, you know, in any of those things, like he wants us all the time. And that's a pretty amazing thing because honestly, we're like all a hot mess. But I think to really feel, to know that there is a God out there that wants to hear from us all the time, that wants to hear our heart about things. I mean, it's got to make you feel seen.
Yeah.
Known,
yeah.
I think, and especially in a world where most people feel unknown or unseen, I think that's such a crucial part of knowing Christ is that we're known.
Yeah. If somebody comes to you and is like, I need to make a big life decision right now, like what are your, what's your advice? What steps would you suggest that they take?
I think obviously prayer. I think that prayer is so important, and in the way that I think people think that it needs to be done in a perfect, like, okay, how do I say this perfectly to God? How do I make this pretty and wrapped up and neat and tidy, and then I can present it to God? And
how can I make my vocabulary sound amazing?
Yes, how do I sound educated?
I couldn't even think of a word after that, so that should tell you where I'm at.
But I think that's missing it.
Yeah.
I think we just go, I mean, he knows we're a mess. Like he knows that. So I think you go to him and just, and all of your mess and the real stuff, not the put together, not the Pinterest, Instagram, filtered, whatever, but just lay it all out there. And you know, one thing that has worked for me is that I write my prayers, and I realize that when I'm writing, not even like, so I write in cursive because it's fast, but not even worrying about how my handwriting looks or if I misspelled a word or if I couldn't find the right word to say, you know, or if I scratched something out, but just pouring out my heart. And that works well for me. That's something that I have found. And what's also cool about writing it is that I rarely go back and read it. This is like pour your heart out and there
and
it is.
Move on.
And move on. But there are moments that when you do go back and look and you can see how God has just been woven through the whole thing. And when you were, you know, when you were desperately praying for something and you thought God was silent, and you can go back and realize, oh gosh, God was at work that whole time. But you know, when I thought he wasn't answering my prayers, when I thought he wasn't hearing me, he was totally at work.
Yeah.
And I think those are good reminders for us too, to see, sometimes we need to see, just have that reminder of how much control God has and how good he is. That, you know, like I said, when we think he's being silent, he's not. You know, he's at work. He wants good things for us. You know, we might not know what that is or what the story is going to look like, or it, you know, and the big one is, which people don't like, it might not be our version,
right,
of what we want the story to be, but he's at work. So, you know, the journaling has really, it's good for me. And then, you know, I think it can also be really therapeutic to then, you know, especially in seasons in life, to once you're done with that journal or that season or whatever, to then get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, be done, like get rid of the pages and move on. But I think that it can be really, it can be healthy.
Yeah. So in a few weeks, probably by the time this comes out, you'll already be over there. but you're moving to Cambodia with your family of six. Yes. and a friend to help you.
Yeah.
With the family of six.
The crazy train.
Yeah.
Here we come.
Like you said, your husband will be doing like the field work, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, but the whole family will be serving to fight human trafficking. Which is all amazing stuff. But there's still a lot unknown,
mm-hmm.
about, yeah. the next year of your life. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, what are just some of those things that right now, you've committed to the call,
mm-hmm.
you feel the peace of that decision, but there's all these other things that are all these balls up in the air. Like, what are some of those for you right now?
Oh man. Yeah, everything.
That's fair.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of things that we've had to kind of wrap up here. And even like our youngest son, Abel, we adopted him just over a year ago from China. And he was extremely medically fragile when we brought him home. And doctors didn't even think he was going to make it. And, you know, now he's
singing Wheels on the Bus. Oh, they go round and round and round and round. Round and round and round.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yeah. So I, you know, we've been wrapping up a lot of things. He's doing really well and his health is doing great, but you know, there's still a lot of things to just kind of button up and, preparing the kids for international school, and I will be going back to work full time to work at the school.
And what will your position be?
Yes, I will be the librarian.
Yes, so, you will.
Yeah, and you know, and that's even when we were talking about all, you know, what service looks like in all different capacities. That, you know, we laugh about being the librarian in the jungle, you know, what service looks like, what you think, you know, everyone wants to go and be like, I'm serving with an anti-human trafficking organization. I'm rescuing people. And again, there are all different ways to serve and be called. And so I just want to encourage you, if you are called to be a librarian in the jungle, that that's still calling and that's, yeah. still kingdom work. And that's still saying yes when you need to say yes and whatever that looks like. And so, you know, that's what our family needed to be able to go. It's allowing our children to go to Christian International School, which is going to give them community and education and all sorts of things that we wouldn't have otherwise. So it's going to be really good for our family, for the health of our family over the year, and also make it doable to live overseas because Brian's position is a unpaid. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns. And, I mean, even like when I was finding our housing, it was like we had to, in the contract, negotiate things like running water and power and like, okay, when we, you know, when we have power outages, because that's a normal thing there, like, do we have a generator? And like, are we in a flood? Is our whole home going to flood? Are we in the floodplains for the monsoon season? And, you know, just, I'm learning a lot on...
You're going to have a tuk-tuk driver?
Yes, we are. So we will take a tuk-tuk to school every morning. Our oldest son, Davis, who's 9, he did ask me the other day, he was like, Mom, what exactly is a tuk-tuk. And I was like, well, hon, basically I'm going to push you in the back of a cart and they're going to take us to school. And he kind of like, you could see him thinking about it for a minute. And in his like 9-year-old boy moment, he was like, yeah, okay. I'm good with that. Yeah. That sounds pretty fun. And you know, we're going from our SUV full of car seats in America to a tuk-tuk cart in Cambodia. So it should be it'll be an adventure.
Which, you know, Davis will love. And Rory will be hit or miss.
It'll depend on the mood.
Yeah, depending on the day. Abel, who loves everybody and everything.
He'll wave
to everyone. Smile and laugh.
And Esme, with the humidity in Cambodia, it's 100% humidity. Her afro is going to be so big. You're not going to be able to see anyone else in the cart because her hair will just be consuming everyone.
And I just can't imagine her. You might have to bring a blanket to lay down for Esme so that she doesn't get too dirty.
Oh, I know. There's a diva in every family. Yeah, so it's, you know, I mean, it's all unknowns. It's all different from what we're used to. It's completely out of our comfort zone. It's all the things, you know, but that doesn't make it, you know, not exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And that's where I'm finding my comfort, you know, even through all the craziness of trying to prepare a family of six to move overseas and, you know, figure out a situation with our house and packing up our life and everything. When you know that you're being called to something and you really truly believe in that and have faith in that, I don't think it, you know, the details just kind of are, they're just details.
Well, and another thing that as we wrap up, I wanted to bring up just that I think is really cool is the way that you are instilling this same heart into your children. And so not only are all four of them coming to Cambodia and all on board with the project, but when you did adopt Abel, you took Davis with you.
Yeah.
And I just think that's really amazing because he was at an age where he could understand. Mm-hmm. He could see and he could understand on a deeper level mm-hmm. than children maybe younger.
Right.
And him in particular, like, he's just a very empathetic person to begin with.
Yeah, he has a big heart.
But yeah, can you just talk through like that thought process and the conversations that you've had with him? Because I know that there's been a lot of big conversations with him.
Yeah, I think what we've learned, well, first of all, I think kids are underestimated.
Yeah.
I think we just, they won't understand. I think most people would be shocked to know what kids pick up on. And, you know, really the big thing is that they might not understand all the details and all the, you know, the paperwork stuff or the legal stuff or the travel stuff, but they know what we've made priorities in our life, where we put our energy, where we put our money, where we put our time. They see those things. And so I think that it's so important that our kids are seeing that, you know, that Christ is our priority. Because mm-hmm. honestly, I mean, parenting's so hard. Like, we're going to mess it up. Honestly, like, at some point, our kids are going to figure out, like, oh my gosh, mom and dad are just winging it. They have no idea what they're doing. We haven't reached that point yet because Davis is only 9. But at some point...
He doesn't know that he's 100% an experiment right
now. Honestly, and it is too. You're like, oh, well, that went pretty well. I'll try that again. Or like, oh, that was a disaster. Like, don't go.
And then you get all the side eye from Rory.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's all just... You're just winging it. And at some point, I'm sure they'll figure that out, like, that we totally don't know what we're doing. Like, we're human. We're broken. We're messy. We're just human. And so we're going to screw it up. And then, I mean, honestly, that's just the truth. As much as we try and, you know, you could read all the parenting books and do every conference, every whatever. I don't even know all the things they offer. But, like, you could do it all. You're still going to mess things up. But... if our kids can see that we were doing our best to seek Christ with our whole hearts and follow him, I feel like that's winning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're going to get a lot wrong. There's going to be a lot of things that we look back and we're like, ooh, that was a doozy. But when it comes, you know, when it really comes down to it, I hope that our kids will see that our hearts were after Christ.
Yeah.
And like I said, through that, through, like, if that's what we want them to see, then we need to show them through action. We need to show them where we're putting our energy, where we're putting our time and our money and our hearts. And they pick up on that. So whether that's Christ or whatever, you know, they're watching.
Yeah.
They're seeing, they're picking up on things. Even if we're not saying it directly to them, they're picking up on things. And so I think that that's really important to not underestimate what kids are learning from us, whether we want them to or not. They're learning and they're taking it in. So, you know, that's been our conversation, that if we can show our kids that we are, you know, with our whole hearts chasing after Christ, then that's really the best we can do.
Yeah.
And the rest will just screw up. So.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any other, anything I should have asked that I didn't, or any other big balls of wisdom that you want to drop on the people.
I think... the words of encouragement I would just leave with people is to just always choose calling over comfort.
Mm.
It goes against everything that our, you know, society, that the world will tell you right now, but just, it's always worth it. Just always choose, like, the hard things. Be more afraid of missing God's call and God's blessing than of doing the hard things.
So another value of Sojourns is this idea that fun is a spiritual act, so that when God made the world, it was good, and that God calls us to live life and live it to live to the full. And so we believe that having fun together is a way of worshiping God. Yeah. And so in that spirit, what is something that you do for fun?
Gosh.
As a mother of four young children, what is something you do for fun?
I feel like you're almost taunting me at this point. Like, you know that I don't get out of the house, like, ever.
You've got a single woman who lives on her own talking to the mother of four.
I know.
So what do you do in all your free time, Jordan?
Just walking around Target. Count. Oh, gosh. No, it is a good question. And even being a mother of four, you know, I know a lot of mothers with young children, you do lose yourself in the motherhood role. But I think, so something, you know, and I'm not sure if this would be considered fun or maybe fulfilling. Maybe okay. Let's go with fulfilling. Yeah. I have discovered that writing for me is fulfilling because I feel like that, you know, God puts gifts in all of us in one way or another. But, you know, some people have music. I do not have music. I wish I did, but I like lip sync in church. I mean, it's so bad.
You got that from our parents.
Oh, yeah. You know, everyone has something that is a gifting. And, you know, if we believe that God created us and that he doesn't make mistakes, which I do believe. I believe he created us. I believe he does not make mistakes, and he created us with purpose. Then he put things in us that bring us joy and fulfillment, and, you know, those are our giftings. And so with that being said, I'm also learning that it's important to make time for our giftings, like whatever that is, whatever your thing is, that if God put it in you, there's purpose in it. And, that it's important to find time for it. So for me, because, you know, my free time is very limited, I enjoy writing, and, you know, on a really special day, I love just reading. But that's, you know.
That's above and beyond.
That's asking for a bit much.
Well, it's probably a good thing you're going to be the librarian.
I know. So yeah, it'll be good. But I think that's what I have been learning through this season of, you know, with publishing my book a couple months ago, and just that was such a huge act of obedience. And for a long time, I fought God on it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't have the time. I didn't have the energy. All the things. I had all the reasons why I didn't want to do it, and God didn't care. You know, finally stepping up and stepping into obedience. And what came from that was a good lesson for me. And so that's, again, like I said, I think God puts things in us, ways to reach people, ways to spread the gospel, ways to have fulfillment, that with purpose. He put those in us with purpose. And so it's important to find, you know, whether it's fun, fulfillment, different things, like there is purpose in that.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again for this lovely conversation. If this project is still going in a year, we'll regroup.
Sounds
good. See what life is like on the other side.
Yeah. Well, and if people want to follow our story in Cambodia, I will be kind of tracking our year on social media.
Mm-hmm. And what is your Instagram handle?
Oh, gosh. I am recently new to Instagram. Apparently, that's like what people do.
Yes. So this is my turn as a sister to step in. I have been telling you
to get on Instagram forever.
And you don't listen. And you're like, I don't like social media. I don't want to do it. And now you're on it. And not thanks, but you still didn't listen to me. You listened to somebody else who got you on Instagram.
Well, my publisher told me I had to. They're like, you live in a cave. Like, you actually live in a cave. A cave with a lot of children. And you need
a very loud cave.
A very loud, loud cave. And so they told me I need to come out of my cave and be on social media. So I am now. I am.
And so your Instagram handle is the name that people can find you under.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Good grief. At Jordan Glasser. Glasser with one S.
Jordan
with a Y. It's a hot mess. Yes, so just Jordan Glasser. And same thing on Facebook. But we'll be tracking our year and even just updates with the book and all that kind of stuff. So
we'll put that information, book, Instagram on, I think, their show notes, the next things. I don't know. This is an experiment for me, so we'll figure it out. But if there's a place to put information, I'm
good. Okay, sounds good. And if not, you can find me on Instagram.
Yeah, at Jordan Glasser.
See, we got there in the end. We figured it out.
All right. Well,
everyone's already tuned off already.
Yeah, so. Yeah, they're gone. We've lost everybody now. I've been fired.
All right, guys. Well, we'll call that a wrap.
Yeah, that's it.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Life in Progress. A big thank you to Jordan for taking time out of her busy schedule to sit down and talk with me. And another thank you to her husband, Brian, for wrangling all four kids so that we could have the conversation. In the show notes, you can find information on Jordan's book, her Instagram, and her Facebook page if you want to follow her family's story. This is usually where I say thanks for tuning in and I'll see you again in 2 weeks. But we're going to take a short break for the holidays. So in this case, we'll see you again in January. Thanks for listening.